I also would like to publicly thank God for this opportunity He's given us to meet together. I'm thankful to meet the brethren that I met today, and some I'm thankful to get to see again that I haven't been able to talk to in quite some time. It's good to be with you, the Church of Macedonia, and the visitors here. It's especially a blessing to me being in the presence of Brother Will. Brother Will is very close to my heart. I love him very much, and I thank God for him daily. I'd like for everyone in the congregation to please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'd like to begin by just reading a few verses, and we'll trust that the Lord would add His blessing to the reading of His Word and lead and direct us. I believe Paul penned to us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 8, and please pray for us the entire time we stand before you. Usually in a night service, a minister of the gospel is in a greater need of prayer, since his mind has been on the things of the day. Maybe on a highway, he's traveled all day. His mind has been on the back seat of a car where my wife drives, and the reason she does that is to keep my mind off the highway and probably our feet off the highway, because she's a better driver than I am. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 8. Peter writes, "By the inspiration of God, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." In these few verses, Peter gives us instruction concerning how we should live as the children of God in this life, and also gives us many indications we have enemies as the children of God. But he also teaches us in verse 10, where grace comes from. It comes from the Lord.
Right.
I mentioned to Brother Cagle earlier tonight, there was a person that came by and spoke with me this week, and he said, you know, everything happens for a reason. I told him I'd rather say there's a reason for everything happening. And when it comes to grace, it all comes from God.
Amen.
Now, when Peter teaches us in verse 10, "But the God of all grace," I believe a conclusion could be made just in those few words that there's more than one context of grace.
Amen.
To begin with, I'd like to start in Romans chapter 5, after we've read this. And in Romans chapter 5, I'd like for you to notice three descriptions of individuals in need of grace. And I'd like to notice three descriptions of people and what they are by grace. And when I'm saying this, I'm referring to the grace that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ that has given us, bought us, and secured us our heavenly home.
Yes.
Starting in verse 6 of Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul has already brought to our attention individuals who are justified by faith. That means people who believe this. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life." Did you notice those things I mentioned? The first thing I'd like for you to notice is individuals who are unable to please God.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength." Now that text did not say we were low on strength. It said in nature, and that's an individual outside the grace of God in nature, that person is unable. It's beyond his ability to please God.
Right.
You know, this is something that each one of us must have a grasp of in order to fully comprehend the grace we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're unable to please God in nature.
Yeah.
It's beyond our ability. John would write to us in John chapter 6, verse 44, "By the inspiration of God, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." Notice the word "can" in that text. The word "can" there denotes an ability or an unability. No man can come to me. You remember when you were growing up, you were in elementary school, and you'd ask your teacher, can I go to the restroom? And she would say, can you? Now, it was a little embarrassing in front of the rest of the class, but she was trying to drive a point.
Yeah.
The word can denotes ability. When he said no man can, what it said is it's beyond our ability to please the Lord, to come to the Lord.
That's right.
For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Yeah.
No man can come to me. Paul would teach us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, while their foolishness in him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. The word can again. It denotes his inability to come to the Lord. He's without strength. Not just low of strength. Completely without strength. But it goes even further. Notice verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. What he's saying is, it's tough to find a man to stand in the stead of a good man. A righteous man. You know, it's tough to find someone who is standing in the way of a bullet headed toward the